Hey guys, what's up? Hope you're well. Gonna do another drive episode here with you. Welcome. And today I wanted to talk about a few different things, starting off with the concept of challenge and setting goals and why this is key for your development. And I posted a really cool little clip on my Instagram today, just like a 1 minute video. I can't even know the name of the guy that's in the video, but basically he was just talking about why it's so important to have a goal to strive towards, how it's important in life, how it's essential to human nature, and that the reason, he's not saying this, but I'll just add to it, the reason why I think we see so many people struggling today with a sense of self-worth, with a sense of direction, with even the ability to define a goal, let alone go out and accomplish it. And the reason we see, I think, the rates of depression, anxiety, and all these kinds of things, aside from the environmental factors that we're going to be getting into in upcoming episodes, if we just look at the consciousness factor, it's clear that if you don't have a goal, if you don't have something you're aiming at, then you're wandering. Now, there's a time for wandering. In fact, I'm a huge fan of the Tolkien quote where he says, "Not all who wander are lost." Okay, but notice he says, "Not all who wander are lost." Many people wander and are completely lost, and they then have to create a false narrative in their mind to convince themselves, and also in the way that they present themselves to other people, they have to create this false narrative that they're not lost, but they know exactly what they're doing. When in fact, the truth is they have no aim, they have no direction. They don't have the pillars of morality and principles and objectivity and reason and intuition. They don't have those pillars well defined. And so they're lost. And you can see the results that people like that produce in their lives, which it's pretty easy to see. It's usually chaos. It's usually calamity. And whereas somebody that has a goal, they're still going to face chaos and calamity, but they're going to come out with a smile on their face, as opposed to drugging themselves and then eventually offing themselves, which sadly happens far too much in this world, where people just tap out and they give up. And I don't want to see you tap out, my friends, in any way, whether it's on the extreme end of things or whether it's just giving up on your goals or even giving up on setting a goal of any kind. And I would venture to say that this principle of goal setting and going after a goal and all that, it's a very masculine principle. And by masculine, I'm not talking gender here. I'm talking the principle of yin-yang, a principle of masculinity, femininity. Women, love you. You can be out there setting goals and you can be applying masculine concepts in your life. Men can use feminine concepts in their life. And that has nothing to do with aesthetics. It has nothing to do with adopting the physical traits of the other gender. This is just all about the way you conduct your life, the way you orientate your thinking, the way you, it's a consciousness thing, okay? It's a philosophical concept. So I just gotta make sure that when we're using those terms, I always have to say that so that you understand what I mean when I'm saying what I'm saying. And it's a masculine concept to set goals, to define a goal, set the goal, and then seek out a path towards accomplishing the goal. Because this is an essential part of human nature, human survival, and it's all about taking action. And the taking of action, the action of taking action, even though it might be disconcerting, it might be uncomfortable, you might feel afraid when you're taking this action in your life. Because obviously if you're setting a goal, you know it's a goal that is not just easy for you to grab and have instant gratification. Setting a goal means delayed gratification. Setting a goal means you're expecting to come up against challenge. And this is why it's so important, and this is why, philosophically speaking, we could define it as a masculine principle, because that's the part of your being that is being cultivated, whether you're a male or a female. It's just the principle of the thing, okay? So stay with me here. And even if you disagree with my definition on that, forget it. It doesn't matter. It's the principle of this that will really bring some amazing things into your life, and it will help clear your perspective. If you don't have a well-defined goal of any kind, resentment starts to build against people who do. This is an issue that we have to really understand. And resentment is a bad thing. Okay, it's one thing to be mildly jealous of somebody that you know that has something that you wish you had, or you know what I'm saying? That's fine. But when it turns into resentment, this is the poison that distorts not just your mind, but can leak out and affect those around you. It can become contagious, because it's easier to not set goals in your life, to not define a goal of any kind, and to not embrace the grind of achieving the goal. It's easier to not do that. And resentment is easy. Resentment is the mindset of the weak-minded person. And the reason it's the mindset of the weak-minded person, I'm not saying that just to be mean, be like, yo, you're weak, man. This is just facts. This is facts of reality that you can look at in your own life. At times where you felt resentment, and just, I'm not going to define it. Go look it up in the dictionary, what that word actually means. Forget about your definition of resentment. No, what's the definition? What's the objective definition? So we can all at least agree on it. Because if there is no objective definition, then we're all speaking different languages and we'll never be able to communicate. So yes, there is a objective definition of these words. And I know you feel like I'm going off on little tangents, but trust me, with the kind of feedback I get, I've got to cover my bases in order to articulate this efficiently for you, okay? So here, just so you know, go look up resentment, learn about it, understand that it's something that can happen in your life, and it happens as a result of losing connection to your goals and your aims. This is essential for life. You have to have a goal of some kind. You have to have something to strive for. On a primal sense, the goal is find clean drinking water, find shelter, find a means of making fire, find food sources, create barricades and weapons to survive against animal attacks or attacks from other human beings, prepare yourself for the forces of nature, which will sweep you up in a heartbeat without thinking about it and without caring about your feelings. That's the primal level of setting a goal. So the goal of surviving is the first one. Every human being, it's built into our DNA, we would rather live than die, okay? And the only reason you get to a point where you'd rather die than live, and you actually go to the level where you're ready to make that choice for yourself, is because you've got no reason anymore. You've got no reason to live. And it's interesting because we live in a very scientific culture, an advanced scientific culture. This is what we hear all the time. Science, science, science. It's all about science. Science is beautiful, but science is limited. And you're going to be like, well, what do you mean, Dave? Science is limited. You wouldn't even have the phone that you're using to record this audio log thingamajig if it wasn't for science. Agreed. Science has a function, a very valuable and necessary function. I mean, even what I just told you, you need to find the goal of just basic survival. If civilization was not here and you're out living in the jungle again, crafting tools for finding food and processing water and making weapons to survive yourself or to hunt or whatever. This is all technology. That's all science. That's the logical, rational side of the human brain. And you test things out and find out, is this the proper way to hunt that deer, or is this the proper way to get that fish, or is this the proper way to harvest these crops or build this shelter? And you go, there's an objective right or wrong in that sense. Like, one time you do it, you mess up horribly, and there's terrible consequences for making that mistake. So then you learn and you go, okay, I don't want that to happen again, so I'm going to change course and I'm going to try this instead. And eventually you refine it down to something that does work the vast majority of the time, and it keeps you alive and it helps you achieve your goal. That's the scientific level of things. But when I'm saying science is limited, I'm saying that science is only there, or I would say this, science rules in the realm of the facts of reality. Like, it is a process of identifying the truth on one level, but only on the material level, only on the physical level, only on the way that you can measure things so that you can achieve the next stage of technological advancement or whatever. But it's very lacking in helping you find and derive meaning. It's lacking in the sense that it's not the tool that you're going to use to define your values. Science rules logic. Science is like a way of navigating the physical reality. And you can gain information from the scientific method that will inform your mind, your consciousness. But it will stop at the point when you now have to use the other part of your brain to think philosophically and define meaning in your life, and to define values in your life. You have to look elsewhere for that. You have to look to philosophy, to religion, to some deep thinking that operates in a different level than just the logical method of survival or dealing with tools of the trade, so to speak, right? So that's why you have to use both parts of your brain. That's why we were given both parts of the brain. And that's why when you see a war between science and philosophy, you should understand that this war is not logical. It's not rational. It's two sides of the same coin fighting it out with each other. You need both. And why people don't clue into that, and why it's so hard to get people to clue into that, even high-level intellectuals, I would say especially high IQ intellectuals, is beyond me. Because to me, it's obvious that you are a holistic being and you need more in life. Clearly, humans need more ingredients in their life than just a means of survival. Once we've achieved the means of survival, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I'm assuming you have hot running water, you have electricity, you have an internet connection, you have a phone, so you've got some money, so you have a means of providing for yourself, and you've kind of nailed how to survive, all right? You live in the civilized Western world, or wherever you live. You live in enough civilization that you have access to even come in and listen to this show. You've got the basics of survival down. Now, if everything melted down and you're back to the devices of nature, well, that would be put to the test on a whole different level. But for now, you can survive, all right? You've got enough information to survive. But then the reason everybody's depressed is because they're like, okay, I've got all these things, I've got all this stuff, I got all this material stuff. I got all the science stuff nailed. Now what? What's it all about? Well, science is not there to inform you about the greater picture of the cosmos and the meaning behind it. It can maybe measure the cosmos. It can maybe take pictures of it. It can send up telescopes and we can learn about it and we can analyze moon rocks and we can do all that stuff. But there's no meaning found in science because they can't measure meaning. They can't take a microscope and find meaning in the micro. They can't zoom in to subatomic particles and go, hey, we found meaning in there. It's one of the new elements on the periodic chart. That's where philosophy comes in, my friends. That's why you can't, when I hear scientists saying philosophy's dead, we don't need philosophy anymore. We got science now. Religion is gone and dead completely. We don't need that kind of thinking anymore. That's primitive. And while, yes, there's a heck of a lot of primitive thinking in religion, and a heck of a lot of primitive thinking in a lot of philosophy as well, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say the entire category is primitive thinking. It's just another kind of thinking that's actually essential to your level of fulfillment in life. And a great example, if I come at this from a martial art perspective, because I'm a martial artist, if you're just tuning in, I talk about it all the time, because I love it. And I look at it from this perspective. So if you think of the whole science versus reason thing, or sorry, science versus philosophy thing, instead of going science versus philosophy, we should have harmony between the two. Because in martial arts, you'll start out from a scientific mindset, a left brain logical mindset. You'll come in and go, Dave, I would like to learn and train martial arts for these reasons. I have these goals, and these are the goals I would like to achieve. And your goals will start out with things like, I want to have a beach bod. I want to know that I can defend myself. I want to feel a sense of confidence. I want a social activity. I'm bored doing my workout at the gym by myself and running on the treadmill or whatever. I want to interact with other people. I think it looks cool, so I want to look cool when I'm doing it. Like, these are the, you come in and it's pretty superficial in the beginning. It's very logical. So I bring you in, or wherever you go, your instructor brings you in. You go, okay, come on in. I can help you achieve those goals. That's a great place to start. Because it is. That's a great place to start. You can't jump to Jedi level off day one. Nobody expects that. But that's not where your journey ends. That's where your journey of discovery and mastery just begins. Because eventually, while you're training martial arts, or any activity really, we'll just use martial arts as the example, eventually you'll get to a point where you're like, okay, I've got a six pack. I'm pretty badass. I can defend myself. I feel much more capable. I feel better because I have now a little bit more self-esteem and that. But what's my reason for training? And so this is why a lot of people get addicted to the competitive world of martial arts, because now it gives them goals. And there's nothing wrong with that. That can help you. That can be a sort of lab where you can go experiment with having a goal and going through the trials and tribulations that it takes to accomplish the goal. That's what I'm talking about. That's healthy. But in and of itself, only isolated and looked at through the lens of pure science only, of pure, I need to get from A to Z, and I need a map of how to get to A to Z. Okay, fine. You get to A to Z. You win a championship. Now what? You got to go find more motivation to get your ass back to the gym, to keep refining yourself, to make yourself even better. So you need to find another tournament or competition to test yourself in. And you keep doing it again and again and again. It's an adrenaline rush every time. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And you could consume your whole life with that. But have you really derived meaning from the struggle yet? Have you found meaning yet in what you're doing? Because a person that has found meaning in what they're doing does not rely only on the acquisition of material recognition, medals, trophies, accolades, titles, belts, ranks. These are all logical functions. These are all things that your logical brain processes. They have no meaning unless you give them meaning. But if you don't approach it from the place of giving anything meaning of any kind, if you're not bringing in the philosophical part of your brain, the wisdom element, the deep esoteric part, the spirit part, the unseen part, the shadow. If you're not bringing all of that into your training, you'll forever be chained to your goals. You'll never actually be free while you're seeking your goals. You'll become a slave to your goals. But if you can bring meaning from this struggle, this taking a goal, going through the process, achieving the goal, and you can find meaning in the thing of itself, not the result, not the way other people view what you're doing. There's a difference between the two. And I know so many high-level athletes that have been there and done it all, and they're not happy. And they don't know when to stop. And they become addicted in a bad way. So there's extremes everywhere, and you got to watch out for this when you're on your path here of seeking knowledge in any area. You got to remember the whole picture is to become aware, to become conscious, to wake up, to seek this meaning and fulfillment through the activity you're doing. It's not the activity itself. It's the spirit and the consciousness and the awareness that you bring to the activity when you engage in it. That's where the meaning is derived. Meaning, so what I'm basically saying here is meaning is derived from within you. It is not given to you from the external world or the external thing that you're doing. Which means you actually have a superpower that you maybe didn't even know you had. And that superpower is, you have the power to be your worst enemy or your best ally. And on this journey called life, you're gonna play both the antagonist and the protagonist. If you've ever watched a movie and or read some of the great myths and legends and the great stories that have been passed down to us, which is all movies are, is just retellings of those exact same stories. You'll notice that you have the central character, which has all the qualities that pull you in so that you identify with this central character. And then it's the central character is always surrounded by other characters. You usually have some bumbling idiot friend who's always making the wrong decisions or always cracking the bad jokes at the wrong time, or is just kind of like a hopeless imbecile, right? A fool. You have the fool character. And then you have the female character, the counterpart. Then you have the competitive best friend or the brother. Then you have, you know, you've got all these things. And then you eventually have the antagonist and then his crew. And then there's the interactions that take place. And when you really watch these things, you realize that the central character, surrounded by all the fellowship around them, is actually just different reflections of one personality. It's not that there's one guy or one girl surrounded by a crew of people. They're all reflections on this one concept that's being spoken to you in this story to show you there's different shades of the human mind. There's different emotions, there's different expressions, there's different houses of the zodiac in the psyche or whatever, right? So they all represent different things. Like even when you look at the 12 disciples in the story of Jesus, it's the same thing. Each disciple has very distinct characteristics that actually make up the entire zodiac, that actually make up the entire picture. That actually, it's not the Christ figure himself, it's the whole constellation that makes the concept come through. That's what the power of the story really is. You have a part of yourself that betrays you. The Judas. You have the traitor. You betray yourself. That voice inside of you that says, I'm going to give up on my goals and dreams. I'm going to give up on this process of personal development and awakening. I'm going to betray. And by betraying, it can lead to death. But then there's the process of resurrection. So we all go through death, resurrection cycles all the time in the decisions that we make every single day. So you need a system of determining the facts of reality, i.e. the scientific method, and then you need a system of determining meaning and defining your values. And that's the philosophical side of your brain. You need both. And it's a slippery slope to go too far in either of those directions, which is why all the great sages talk about the middle path, right? Walk the middle road, straight and narrow. It's the hard path to walk. because most of the people around you will be fluctuating between extremes, and they'll be trying to recruit you along the process. So to truly gain knowledge and enlightenment and fulfillment, it requires somebody that has the strength and resilience to go at it on their own to a large extent. I mean, you'll always interact with teachers and people that help you on your journey, and they support you and they're there to guide you. But ultimately, they're just there to cue you to make different decisions and to encourage you on. Or some people that come in that are the antagonist into your story, they come in to be the appropriate challenge that you need in order to grow to the next level. So when you ask the universe, or you pray for something, and you say, hey, I want this in my life, I have this goal, I'm going after it, you start writing it down on your dream board or whatever the fuck, and, you know, the forces of nature, or whatever, the way it all works, I don't know how it all works, but let's just say, you know, whatever you want to call it, God, the forces of nature, the universe, there's a response, and it doesn't come in the way that you thought it would. It comes with a boatload of challenge and drama. Now, that's too hard for most people to go through, which is why most people fail. The vast majority of people fail. The vast majority of people that start a business fail. The vast majority of people that get on the dojo mat, they don't go past orange belt. The vast majority of people that, you know, join pottery lessons, they don't go past the first month or so, because they realize they hit a point where it's not just fun and cute. No, I get to post on Instagram about I'm taking pottery now, or I'm doing this new activity, and it stops being fun, because at a certain point you're going to be forced to grow, and growth requires struggle, and people want to avoid the struggle at all costs. So they're like, you know what? I don't really need to be an amazing potter. I don't really need to be a black belt. I don't really need to be a cutting edge scientist. I don't really need to be a philosopher. I'll just stay average. It's safer. It's easier. More friends, less enemies, less antagonists, less challenges. But then what do we see? A whole society on one form of drug or another, involved in all forms of escapism, escaping reality, escaping the reality of their own shadow, escaping the reality of their own inner turmoil, their own skeletons, their own demons that they have to exercise. If you don't exercise those demons, you don't get rid of them, they'll keep haunting you, and then eventually they will destroy you. So you're in this fight whether you like it or not, my friends. And we've created a society where it can become very easy to just escape that process, because there's all the trappings everywhere around you. Not that there's anything wrong with each one of those trappings in and of themselves when used in a conscious way. But when you ignore your inner house and you allow yourself to be pulled apart by the world and all these different directions, and you seek meaning externally, constantly, eventually that fire burns out, and then you're left there in the dark and you don't know where to go. And now you don't have any goal whatsoever. And you actually get to the point where you contemplate, why am I even here? Why am I even living? What's the point of life? And you start asking yourself, and then you go down that downward spiral, and some people don't escape that. And then they tap out and they check out of this reality. The world right now offers you a million and one ways to check out of reality. We're getting to a point where we're going to be living in virtual reality. Completely. Artificial intelligence. Emphasis on the word artificial. We're trading natural organic intelligence for artificial intelligence. We're trading natural and organic food for artificial food. Natural and organic ways of healing the body for artificial ways of healing the body. And when you keep going down the one path, the artificial path, long enough, you wake up and you don't even know how to define who you are anymore. You have no self, because you've killed self, because you chose the artificial guise to replace the self. And you wonder why everybody's in some kind of existential crisis, midlife crisis, identity crisis. No fulfillment, no passion, no power, no strength. our spines are being sucked out of our body. We're being weakened systematically. And we're allowing this to happen and we're kind of doing it to ourselves. So to escape this, what I want to encourage you to do, as I encourage in pretty much all of the content that I produce, is to seek a way to find meaning in what you're doing. Even if it's something that you have to do that you don't like doing, sometimes the reason you don't like doing something is just because, yeah, it's a shitty thing and you should probably not do it anymore. Like working a job you hate or whatever. Or being in a relationship with someone you just really don't like. Or anytime you're lying to yourself, that creates a certain vibration in your mind and your body, and it's not good. It can lead to sickness. But sometimes it's just because of your perspective. Say it's something you have to do. Like right now, I'm on my way to go do training. I don't really feel like training today, to be honest with you. I'd rather just sit at home and chill out in my backyard and do nothing. But I have to stay true to my goal. And it's because I have a bigger perspective. I have a larger vision. I have a way, I have a direction that I'm going. I have a target that I'm aiming at. And I'd rather, in order to hit that target, the reality is there that I have to keep training and developing myself, even and especially on the days I don't feel like it. Because it's a law of averages. If I only trained the days I felt like it, it would take me another 50 years to get good at what I want to get good at and accomplish what I want to accomplish. But because I'm not viewing it just from the perspective of, oh, I want to achieve this belt or this rank or this notoriety or whatever, I'm doing it from the place of, I just want to derive meaning from this struggle. I want to get better at this because I need a way, I need an orientation. I need to point my sails in a direction. So the direction for me is, I want to master myself through this vehicle, which is this discipline called jiu-jitsu or whatever I'm doing, to do that. So I have to do it on the days that I feel like it, and I have to do it on the days I don't feel like it. Law of averages. That's why I'm willing to suffer a little bit. Because the fulfillment that I get is greater amidst the suffering than the suffering I'll experience from not embracing the struggle. It's a recognition that the struggle is the fulfillment. And not just this, it's not always struggle. We don't have to become masochistic or anything like that, or sadomasochistic. We just have to understand reality. If you lived in the jungle right now and you had no civilization around you and you're alone on an island, you would have to get up and go and try to find food and water sources and rebuild your shelter and watch out for danger, even on the days that you don't want to. I'm sure you don't wake up every day going, man, I feel really, really empowered today and I feel super stoked to go out for 12 hours trying to find sources of food and probably risking my life and my body because I could get attacked by something, I could get bitten by a bug, I could break my ankle, I could drink water that was poisoned or dirty or whatever. I could, you're never gonna wake up feeling like, I can't wait to do that, you know? Man, sometimes even when I get excited for camping, you know, you get all excited for it, and then you get there, and you're like, oh, man, it's a lot of work. Clean up, I got to cook all the time. It's just that there's so much work involved with it. But you do it for the bigger purpose of, I want to be out in nature. I want my kids to be out in nature. I want to experience what it's like to not have all the access to my phones and tablets and internet. And I want to go out and do some fishing, and I want to go out and do things, play in nature. And yeah, sometimes it rains, and you got to deal with that, you know? So you got to find activities that sort of mirror life. And increasingly, because we live in such an artificial world, it's becoming increasingly easy for people to forget completely about reality and how it works. And now all their philosophies and theories and the way they view the world and all of that, all their opinions are derived from artificial sources because they've become artificial. They've become artificialized. And now that's normal. And so people don't even know what reality is anymore. And so therefore they can say incredibly ignorant things like, it's all shades of gray, everything's relative, and we don't want consequences, and we're going to ignore the consequences and we're just going to keep plowing forward, you know? Like, it's amazing. So don't fall into the trap. This is the secret to happiness and fulfillment and success. Set yourself a goal that's hard to reach. I mean, not demoralizingly hard, but just hard enough, and something you got to work at, and start with something really small. Don't go for the big thing right off the bat. This is not something that you can do cold turkey. It's a process of taking little mini steps, 5% rule, every day towards a goal of any kind. Give yourself a goal. Start with a goal of making your bed every morning. I don't know. Do something different. One little thing. And then do it not to please others. Do something where you're not trying to please everybody else. Do one thing in your life that you don't give a shit what other people think. One thing. Can you do one thing where you're not constantly checking on what other people think and asking other people's opinions about whether or not you're doing it right or not? Can you just find one thing? Not all the things. One thing. Just to keep a little sliver of sovereignty of your brain and your mind and your body, like a little, just claim a little bit of territory from the rest of the world. Constantly trying to pry their fingers in and take everything you have because they themselves are completely empty corpses. Because they're not doing this, because no one teaches this anymore. Because what I'm saying right now is what is the wisdom that was given to us by our ancestors, that the people that wrote this stuff down were persecuted and put in prison. Because the people that don't want to hear this, because it's too frightening to them, that they have to take some responsibility in their own journey towards happiness and fulfillment, God forbid, that they would want to censor those kinds of people. And the way this world is going, people like me are being and will be censored. The more we keep talking about this. And we'll be censored, not by some tyrannical government, but by the mob. The mob with the burning torches. Who've become soulless. They're the walking dead. The walking dead will ravage you. So, just beware of that. Beware of the people that you hang out with. Beware of the people you're influenced by. Beware of the type of books you're reading and the content you're absorbing. Watch out what you're listening to from the news. Be aware of how you're coming to the conclusions that you're coming to. Find out the meaning and the reason behind all the opinions that you have. Check it all the time. Use the scientific method, but also activate your intuition and activate your philosophical thinking so that you can think holistically. That will help you. It will help you learn how to survive on a technical level and also on a psychological and spiritual level. You need both. We're a multidimensional being. How ridiculous would it be for you to say, I'm only going to focus on one thing? I'm only a scientist? I'm only a philosopher? Come on. You're both. That's the magic. To me, the black belt, the martial artist, in my discipline, is defined by the fact that not only did they master the technical aspects of their discipline, but they also mastered themselves. They mastered their character. They found meaning in what they were doing. And now that's where you see the people that have passion, and they go and teach that passion to the young ones, to the newbies, to the white belts, to try to inspire them to pick up their cross and go down that journey and embrace the struggle and find meaning in it. In the same way that you find the meaning in the struggle of living. And that you have a system, you have a way, a path, a method of navigating through the challenges of life. You have a reservoir of strength and experience to draw from because you know what it's like to succeed, you know what it's like to fail, you know what it's like to have a goal and to accomplish it, and you also know what it's like to have a goal and to not accomplish it. All of that experience creates this reservoir, this this power source that you can draw from when times are tough. You notice the people around you that even the slightest breeze of life just blows them over and destroys them, and they're just sitting there, oh my God, life is kicking me down, kicking me while I'm down all the time. And you keep, and then it could be a month later, it could be a week later, it could be a year later, it could be 10 years later. You meet that person, and if they haven't made the essential changes in their life, they're still telling you the same story. It's like soap operas. You could watch a soap opera for a couple months, and then like 10 years later, you could tune into the same soap opera, and you know exactly where everybody's doing, and you didn't really fall that far from the plot. These are the kind of people living soap opera lives. You got to have empathy for them, and you got to say, that's not going to be me, thank you very much. I'm a different bird. I'm a different beast. I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to be self-destructive. I'm going to be constructive. I'm going to be balanced. I'm going to take back the sovereignty of my mind. I'm not going to live purely to please others. This is not what we're going to do. So this is essential. This knowledge is essential. And I recommend listening to people that are talking about this as much as you can. Read the great thinkers on this and find something in your life where you can find a goal to, you can actually define a goal for yourself. Then you can set a strategy and a routine. That's your method of achieving the goal. And then you can allow yourself to go towards the goal and make the mistakes necessary and meet the challenges necessary in order to achieve it. So don't turn away the first time you have adversity show up in your door when you're going after whatever goal it is. Don't get blown over by just a slight breeze. I mean, if something's going to take you down, it better be a goddamn tsunami, not just a little breeze. You know what I mean? And then what's that old quote about the warrior saying that, you know, I am the storm? You are the storm. You become the storm. You're not going to be so easily swept off this planet. You're not going to be so easily lost. You're not going to be one of those walking dead. You're going to live. And living requires balance, and it requires the ability to define goals, to set goals, to work towards goals, and to achieve goals, and to experience failure on that journey. That's life. That's the facts of life. We've just lost touch with it because we've got it so good with all this technology and all this civilization. So don't get caught up in that and live an inauthentic life where you have no meaning and then therefore you're walking depressive all the time. Don't get caught up in that. Those are traps. So I hope that helps. I hope that helps maybe give you some perspective on something, that as it has helped me, this information. I'm not the origin of this information. I am standing on the shoulders of giants. And it's better to go and read the greats and study the greats. But then also just go and have your own experience and learn from yourself. I mean, come on. Learn from yourself. Learn from life. Make it a point to find a lesson in everything you're doing and everything that's happening to you. There's a lesson there. There's wisdom there. There's meaning in everything that's happening. Even the most arbitrary things that seem unrelated. The most trivial things. Nothing's trivial. Everything, you can find meaning in the smallest things and in the biggest things. So, with that said, guys, stay tuned. This week on Unslaved, Michael and I are going to be talking about a subject that I'm super excited to chat with our Unslaved members about. And that is, we're going to be going deep into philosophy and discussing free will and determinism. This will be a goodie. And so check it out this Sunday. And I hope you will join us at unslaved.com. And also, I will be starting my series looking at the field of health and the pharmaceutical industry. I'll be talking to the great Del Bigtree from The High Wire. I'll be having him on next Tuesday, the 21st. And I'm very excited to have this chat with him. So tune in. I'll be doing that live from my Truth Warrior YouTube channel. So I hope you will join me for that show. With that said, guys, that is a wrap. I hope you have a wonderful day. Go and kick some ass, find some meaning, and we'll chat again very soon. Cheers.